Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Welcome to Next Level Church. I want to say thank you to Rob Shepherd for giving me this awesome privilege to be able to share with you guys today. He blesses me when he says that I'm awesome and that I'm a really cool staff member because I just think all the privilege is mine. If you are new to us or you've been here a while, you might know about the YouVersion app. We use it. You should use it too. The directions are up on the board. If you don't have the app, you can download it. We have free Wi-Fi, so go ahead and do that. If you do have it, just pop it open, find the live section, and look for Lip Sync by Next Level Church. And it'll give you like all these great things that I'm going to say before I say them. And it's just a good app. You can like pray requests and answer the question of the day and read your scripture. Anyway, so that's that. Awesome. So before I begin, I want to share with you something that happened last week. It was absolutely amazing, and I created a lot of buzz in the back area of my section of the church with kids and tots. We had 74 kids and tots here last week. And it really isn't about the number, but it was really, 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 really exciting to see that many kids and tots here. The parents brought them and are really taking it serious about letting them learn about Jesus at their level. So I want to say that because that's kind of what we're talking about. It's about buzz. It's about creating buzz. I created buzz last week because I saw something awesome, and I did what every single one of you probably are going to do or will do sometime within the next few hours. You're going to put something on Facebook and post it to either your Twitter or your Facebook account and start creating a buzz about whatever's going on in your life at that hot second that was really awesome and you had to share it. And that's what I did. Because last week was really awesome and I had to share it with somebody. And I kept going around the room and telling everybody and jumping up and down and getting so excited that I had to put it on Facebook. And I want you to know that that's kind of what we do, right? Things happen in our lives we get really, really excited about, and we go straight to social media, which is just signs of our times. That's what we do. Well, the question for us is, I want to ask you, how many of you in the last 24 hours went on social media and posted or updated either your Facebook or Twitter? Oh, wow, less in this service than last service. Last service, everybody raised their hand. It was crazy. How many of you, since you got to church, have, like, updated your status? Anybody? Amy and Jimmy, yes, that's exactly what I thought. Amy and Jimmy Williams. Last service, it was just Tim, but it was exciting. I was really excited about it. Because that's what we do. We live in a world where buzz is all around us, right? You go to the store, there's like Us Magazine, People Magazine, there's tabloids, there's things going on, it creates buzz. You turn on the TV, you got Entertainment Tonight and all of those things, and you got award shows and Emmys and dresses and who dressed nice and who didn't. And then you see your Facebook page and you got, you know, ice bucket challenges and I don't know, whatever is latest and greatest. I find more information about what's going on in the world on my Facebook page than I do anywhere else, which is really sad. Like, I learned that Robin Williams died on Facebook. All of these things happen, and I learned about them on Facebook. Why? Because it's where the buzz is at, where things are going on, what's happening in our society. Everyone's good about posting it. So we live in a world where ratings are important, right? Like, you go to Amazon, and you decide if you're going to buy something based on the number of ratings it has. You go to a restaurant based on the recommendations that someone gave you to go there, or, you know, on Facebook and Instagram has a heart. Facebook has the thumbs up. You know, those like buttons or love buttons that tell you, hey, that's cool, or that's what, I don't know, what's awesome. Anyway, we have all that around us. I think we take it for granted. I think it just comes so much a part of our life that we don't necessarily see it as buzz, but that's exactly what it is. And in thinking about this is when I started writing my talk about lip syncing, because I thought to myself, well, if we're Christians, what are we creating around us? What's the buzz that we should be generating around us? And that got me thinking that, what is buzz? Well, the Urban Dictionary says that buzz is anything that creates excitement or stimulus. So it stimulates you. It's attractive. It's catchy. You're looking at it. And so what in our Christian life is attractive? What's awesome? What should we be sharing? Well, it dawned on me that actually sharing our faith, talking about Jesus, is the buzz that we should be advocating in our Christian life. Really, it's all about Jesus. And we say it a lot, but it really is true. So buzz is actually a marketing word. And though we don't want to limit the gospel to marketing, right, I will say that when you share Jesus here, there, and everywhere, it's kind of what you're doing. It's marketing. We're marketing Jesus a little bit. I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I say that in the first service, and everyone's like, oh, that sounds weird. It is, but it is kind of true. We're creating buzz, and Jesus did it. Everywhere he went, he created buzz. People stopped. They looked at him. They wanted to know what he was going to do next. They thought he was weird. Was he the Son of God? Was he not? Some people said he was, and people just followed him around just to see what he was going to do next. He created buzz, and so I think the same thing can be for us. I think we can create buzz as well. I think I said it earlier, like, we go see movies, not just because we want to see the movie, but maybe because someone told us it was going to be a good movie, and so we went and saw it. We go to a restaurant. Why? Because someone told us that, hey, they have really good X, Y, and Z there, and you should go eat X, Y, and Z, because it's amazing. Same with mechanic. My husband and I, we had a mechanic. We had a transmission fix on our car because someone recommended, hey, go there. They'll give you a good deal, and they're fair people. So I think, in terms of buzz tells us a couple more things about buzz. Buzz actually happens in our life because of the connections that we have with people. It's not just marketing and what you see on media. It's what you hear friend to friend, colleague to colleague, family member to family member. It's everywhere. It's buzz. It's everywhere. Last week, Pastor Rob used the scripture 2 Corinthians 5:20 as our theme scripture for this series, which says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And ambassadors in this scripture, what Rob was saying last week, spread buzz or spread their faith in who Christ is. They're making an appeal of who he is. I want to focus on 2 Corinthians 18 and 19, which are the two verses preceding. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is what, as Christians, we need to be spreading, is that really long word in this verse that they say repeatedly, reconciliation. Reconciliation is important. For those of you who have been in the church a long time, you probably know what reconciling is or reconciliation is. For those of you who haven't, you might not have heard the word. But how many of you balance your checkbook? Anybody? No one did in the first service. Awesome. The same amount of people in the first service, like two people. No one does that anymore. But it's kind of a great picture of what God did for us. If you reconcile your checkbook, you know that at the end of the month, you take your checkbook and you make sure that the money coming in covered the money going out, right? And that it makes sense. And you don't have any discrepancies so that you know that you're not going to balance anything or make yourself look really bad because you don't have any money. And that's kind of where we were when God decided to send his son. Our lives were going to be a complete debt. We had spent everything we possibly could. In our filthiness, in our dirtiness, there was nothing left. We had depleted everything. We couldn't earn our way back to God because we were separated. Sin, that ugly word, that three-letter word, separated us from God. And so God comes up with this plan that he's going to send his son Jesus to fill in, to cover all of our debt. All of our sin, all of our mistakes, and that's what reconciliation is. Jesus covering all of our sin, all of our debt. That's what it means. And so as Christians, we know that then if God did that for us by sending us a son, we must do that. It's not just about God reconciling us to himself, but then it turns out that we get to reconcile with one to each other. So because I see the example of Jesus, I then get to reconcile with my spouse every time we get in a heated discussion and he's wrong. I get to reconcile with him because I'm never wrong. That's not true. That's not true. But anyway, that's what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is us reconciling with each other, forgiving one another, washing that debt clean because God did that for us. And we get to show people through that, through the life of Jesus, and let them know that that's the only way. That's the only way. So that's what we as Christians should be talking about is buzz. Rob Shepherd says this saying. If you've been here a while, you might have heard him, or if you just know him pretty well. He says this statement when he wants someone to really understand what he's saying. He'll say, "Are you smelling what I'm cooking?" Right? Rob says that. And so the other day I was getting ready for this talk and I was like, "Rob, what's that thing you say that like gets people paying attention to what you're supposed to be saying?" And he's like, "I really don't know." And I'm like, "No, it's like catchy. It's like, you hear what I'm saying, only it's catchier." And he's like, "You smelling what I'm cooking?" And I was like, "That's it." So I took that as being very biblical and we should use the same thing in our lives. And so I put a twist on it, and it says, are we saying what God is speaking? And I think that's really the question and the tension that we live in. Are we saying what God is speaking? And not just saying it for the sake of saying it, but are we saying it in an authentic way? So we not only just need to say it, but we need to live it. And so saying what God is speaking is super important. It's what makes people think that what you're doing and what you're saying is really real. It causes them to pay attention. If we're representatives of Christ, walking, talking billboards for who he is, advertising the greatness and goodness of God, we need to ask ourselves this question: what are we advertising? What are we promoting? What do we want our friends and family members to know, not about ourselves, but about who he is in us and through us? And if you think about it, that's the kind of stuff that we should be putting on our Facebook page and our Twitter account. It should be the stuff that like God's doing with us and through us and in us that help us promote God in every facet of our life. And unfortunately, or fortunately, right now we have a great tool of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things that allow us to, I think, spread the gospel in a better way. Why not? We spread everything else through Facebook. We spread the death of Robin Williams and, you know, everything else is on there. Icebook Challenge, blah, blah, blah. Like so many things through social media. Why don't we spread Christ through the social media as well? Just by living our everyday life and having our life match up with what we're saying. If you like a product, right, you'll tell someone about it. If you really like a product, you'll tell multiple people about it. And if you hate something, well, we'll tell everybody that we hate something. It's not hard at all to tell people things that we don't like. It's just easier. At least for me, I can honestly say that I have a better time telling someone things I don't like than sometimes telling the things I do like. And we're more apt to tell those things. But either way, we're telling people something all the time. And somebody is always listening and somebody is always watching. And as I was writing this talk and figuring out what I really wanted to communicate, a thought hit me. Because I was not only writing and thinking, I to give myself, you know, ample, like, things to do and to make sure that I was actually doing this talk any justice, I went on social media. Because I think that would be fair. If I'm going to talk about it, might as well do it. So I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking of things to post. And I thought to myself, a list of all my friends. I don't have many, but all my friends on Facebook. And I thought, you know, someone somewhere on the other end of this internet is formulating an opinion, not only about me, but about who God is, based on what I'm putting on my social media status. And, you know, you can say, well, that's probably not true. And, you know, maybe, maybe it's not. But I thought it kind of convicted me at that moment to say, well, what am I putting? Am I going to complain? Am I going to put some words on there that just aren't building anybody up and just saying things that I shouldn't be saying because I'm having a rough day? Or am I going to put something on there that might just encourage someone who might be at the edge of whatever they're going through and just need some help? And at that moment, Buzz and sharing my faith made a lot more sense. Because we're going to go on Facebook and we're going to go on Twitter and we're going to share something. I might as well start sharing things that are life-giving. And so I went straight to the Bible and I looked up Romans 12, 1 through 2, and the Message says it so well. So here's what I want you to do. I love it because it just grabs my attention and it tells me, okay, this is all I need to do. This is what I'm going to do. Here's what I need to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. And I think the Message is saying to take everything, you're walking, you're talking, your Twitter, your Facebooking, you're updating your statuses, your Instagram, whatever you're involved in, and give it to God as an offering. I don't think it's just about what you do, where you go, the friends you hang out with, the company you keep. I think it has to do also with what you're saying and what you're talking about. And I think I took from there, like, I need to be more conscious of what I'm posting and what I'm saying and what I'm doing, because someone somewhere is watching. If you have children, you know this. If you have kids, you know your kids are always watching. I know it because they come in on Sunday and they tell me what happened in your week. They're like, Mommy and Daddy, oh, there it goes. And they'll use the same words you use. They'll say the same things you're saying. Good or bad, I've heard it. It's okay. I don't judge you or me, right? They're going to repeat it. And I think people in our lives do the same thing. If it's okay for you to do, it's okay for me to do. Same situation, because that's what we're living our life out. The part in that scripture that kind of convicted me at first was that don't become well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. I think it is easy peasy to fit into the world around us. I think it's hard work to not fit in. I think it's easy to grumble and complain at work when everyone else is grumbling and complaining at work. I think it's easy to talk about someone when somebody else is talking about them. And I think it's easy to hide our light under a bushel because no one else that I hang out with understands this light or believes in this light. And so it's just better left kept in under a rock. I think it's just easier. We can dress and look and act the way everyone else acts, and we don't have to change or be different or give them something else to know or to believe in or to understand. So here's a couple questions that I came up with, and I want you to know that I had to wrestle with these questions when I first wrote them down to try to give myself an understanding as to where I am in my sharing my buzz, okay? I don't want you to think like, oh, I do all of these things and it's great. I'm giving them to you so you can kind of feel my pain when I wrote them down. Number one, it says, how long does it take for new friends to realize you're a Christian? I was like, oh man, one, I don't even have new friends. And two, if I did, I wouldn't tell them about Christ. And then I thought, well, maybe that's my problem. If I told about Christ, maybe I'd have friends. Anyway, number two, how long does it take for you to invite a friend to church? And lastly, I wrote down, when was the last time your life caused someone to positively ask you about your faith in God? And I said positively because I thought about, if someone came and talked to me about my faith on any given day, would I give them a positive story about God, or would I give them a negative story about God? You know, suffering for Jesus, just doing this thing, you know, and feeling like maybe no one recognizes me, or, you know, changing a dirty diaper is kind of boring when you're in the back and it's not glamorous. Or would I tell them something positive about God? Would I join in their conversation about really wanting to know who he is? Or would I just feed into that thing that says, well, maybe God isn't even real? I don't know. I've never heard from him, right? And kind of feed into that. So positively talking about our faith in God. And it got me thinking, okay, how am I going to convey this to you guys so that you know what to do and that we don't just leave here being like, wow, we stink at this. We're really not good Christians. Because in the middle of the talk, I just really felt like I wasn't a very good Christian at all. And I decided that the first thing I needed to do to create buzz, to share my faith in my Christian life, is I needed to create buzz and faith on the inside. So that's number one, create buzz on the inside first. When we practice the part of being ambassador, about telling our faith, sharing buzz, we cannot do it unless we have some kind of faith working on us on the inside. We have to have some kind of connection. Buzz works on social media because you make connections. You have friends, right? Friends on Facebook, followers on Twitter, followers on Instagram. You're following people. It's all about connections. Well, and same within our life. If I want to create buzz, I've got to be connected to something or someone. And the something or someone is greater than I, and his name is Jesus. And I have to get connected with him, and I have to figure out ways to do it. And it's going to be one of those sermons like, hey, you got to read your Bible more, and you got to pray more. Absolutely, we do. Why? Because words are important. And so getting into God's word and looking it over creates something in me. It does something for me. It builds my faith. I can read something that says, you know, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to their purposes, and it builds me up. It's like, yeah, this day is only 24 hours. Tomorrow is going to be even better, right? Or I think about things in the scripture that says, you know, nothing's impossible without God. Another great one, right? And it starts building up my faith. It starts working something inside of me that says God's bigger, God's got it, God's got it covered. It's going to work itself out. And I do this because relationships are great. They're so God mandated. My relationship with my husband started out like that. He became my best friend first. I could tell him everything and anything I ever needed to tell him. And it was in that relationship with my husband that made my relationship with God even stronger, because I know that that's the way it needs to be with my Jesus. As much as I want to go and run to Ed and tell him about my good day and my bad day and everything else in between, is as much as I want to run to Jesus and tell him all about my good day and my bad day. And it's those connecting points, whether I'm reading my Bible or praying or spending time with him in some other way, listening to worship or community groups or spending time with somebody who can just encourage me, that's when I get to know God a whole lot more. And he speaks to me because he's always, always speaking. And that doesn't mean that you have to hear his audible voice. It just means that someone can drop something and say something, and it can just help your faith on the inside, create that buzz. And the next thing you know, you're over here doing something else with someone else, and that life that was just given to you and you spent time with is coming right out of your mouth. It's not in my notes, but in my research of this, like with lip syncing, I wanted to know what lip meant, like what this meant in the Greek. I don't know why. I'm just weird. And it actually means the pouring place. In Greek, the word lip means the pouring place. It's the place, if you think about a lip on a pitcher, that something pours out of. And the Bible's very clear. What comes out of our mouth is going to come, it comes from our heart. So if I spend time with God and I get to know him and I'm spending time with his people and they're feeding into me, all of that comes out of my mouth. And I can begin to share that with somebody else. So buzz is all created in relationships and connections. And first and foremost, we have to have it this way before we can have it this way. And I've learned that a lot of hard ways, for sure. So the next way to create buzz in your life, after you've had this inward faith-building thing, and you've gotten into his word, and you've prayed with him, the next thing to create buzz, you have to tell somebody, right? So on Facebook and social media, what do? We put it out there. Somebody likes it. They add a comment. Like, we're getting people talking. And when I talked to Rob about this, about telling someone about Jesus, I said, I know it's very popular in the Christian world right now to say all you have to do is live your life and people will know Jesus. Well, and a saint basically had a quote that said that. It says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I think it's necessary to use words all the time. I do. I think, well, maybe because I talk a lot, I think that words are really, 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 really significant. Jesus went around talking and teaching and sharing. He didn't just leave it up to his signs and his wonders, even though they were amazing and they were awesome, and they brought a lot of people to God. I think he still had to use his words, and I think we still have to use our words. I don't think it's okay that we just live a good life, and hopefully people will know about Jesus. And I'll give you an example. I was talking to Rob about this talk, and he gave me this beautiful analogy, and I loved it, and it was convicting, and it convicted me, and I'm going to share it with you. Well, he was at seminary. A professor of his said that not sharing your faith with others is like this. He says, it's like being a lifeguard, going through all of the training, all the things that you have to learn, CPR, how to get in the water, do all those things that you need to do to save someone's life, and then get to your job on the first day on the beach, and you climb up in your chair, and you're looking out in the ocean, and everyone is drowning, and you're just sitting there. And he said that to me, and I wanted to just crawl under my chair. I thought, oh my gosh, I have people in my life on probably a day-to-day basis that are dying. Literally just dying. They're leaving. They're not going to heaven. They don't know Jesus, and I'm letting them because I don't want to tell them about Jesus. That's just me. I know that about myself. I don't want to tell them. I don't want to tell them I work for a church and I do all this stuff and God's good. Like, it's hard. It really is hard. And he said that, and I was like, wow, that's powerful. Because if someone was dying in front of us, we would do everything we could to give him life. Yet we've been given, the giver of life has given us his son, and we're not telling everybody and anyone about who Jesus is. That was convicting to me, and I want to share that with you because I think it paints a really good picture, and we can all understand it. We've all been to the beach, and we've all seen lifeguards, and we've all heard of stories of people drowning, and I was just moved at the fact that, man, my words are important. I can love somebody, and I can be their friend from here to eternity, but then at eternity, it stops. I still had to tell them about how to get to the other side with me. And I say that to say, hey, you know, we all have people in our lives who are waiting, anticipating. What makes you different? How do you get through the loss of a job? How do you get through a difficult situation? Why are you always smiling so? And maybe they don't notice it. And so you kind of have to tell them when they're going through something. Everyone goes through something, and I think that it's only us who put whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's us. I think God looks at everything that happens in our lives as good, not bad. And that's hard to say because I have a job and everything's going well and I'm not in the midst of anything. And you may be going through something that's really difficult and really hard, and I'm just telling you, it's a good thing. I mean that to say that I think God looks at everything and says, I can use this for my glory if you let me. And I'll give you two examples in the Bible. John chapter 11, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are friends of Jesus. And Lazarus is sick. And Mary and Martha call out, send word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. And Jesus, on hearing that Lazarus is sick, decides to stay in the town that he's in for 2 more days. I think he's a little rebellious, but I'm just saying, like, oh, I'm just going to stay here for 2 more days and wait. And in his waiting, he then decides, after 2 days, he's going to go check on Lazarus. And he says this literally to his disciples. He says this, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad, so that you may believe. He didn't take delight. He was glad that in the midst of this horrible situation, Lazarus being dead, that his disciples were going to get to see and believe in God. And some of you are probably dealing with something maybe sad and hurting and hard to deal with. And God is saying, you know what, if you let me, I can use this for my good if you tell them about me. And I'm going to give you an example, because I get to know a lot of people here in the church. And there is someone who, when I was writing this, really thought a lot about. And her name is Amy Williams. She could probably be mad that I say anything. Amy Williams, to me, is one of those people that have the cat with 9 lives. Amy's on her 7th. God just really likes doing that to her. I don't know why. We're going to stop at 7. But I'm going to say this about Amy. God likes doing it to her because I think God gets all the glory out of Amy's life. If you've spent any time with her, you know that he does get a lot of glory out of the bad things that he walks her through, and they end up turning out right as rain. I'll give you an example. This year, she was diagnosed with 2 brain tumors, and she just wouldn't have known it. Like, you wouldn't have known that she was walking through that, and you wouldn't have known that she was worried about it or anything. And the next thing you know, she's in the hospital, she gets them both removed, and 3 days later, she's home, resting, giving glory to God that he got her through it, that God's got it, that God took care of it. And it blessed my socks off. Like, it made me be like, yeah, that's amazing that anybody could be like, I had 2 tumors, now I'm home. And then what's even more amazing about Amy is she did everything the doctor told her to do. She ended up with blood clots in the hospital again. And like, I want to say, like, was it 2 days, Amy? 2 days, back out. And like that day she got out, she went to a wedding. Like, exactly what I would expect from a woman who puts all of her trust, all of her faith in God, and their family lives it out. And if they're the two people that said that they updated their Facebook status when they got to church, because they live that. That's real for them. That's where they're at and what they're doing at church. They want the world to know, because, and people know it about them. Why? Because they live that authentic, real Christianity, that what they say is what they do, and what they believe in their heart, they're going to pour it out on you if you spend any time with them. And I love that. I love that. I'm honored that they're at this church. I'm honored that they're my friends. And I think that people in this auditorium today are going through something. And if you let God, he's going to use it for his glory. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to give you another example of another place in the Bible where God did this. Paul and Silas have been flogged. I don't know what flogging is. It just sounds really bad. I'm assuming they got beat. But before they got beat, they stripped them down. It says, the Bible says, they were in their underwear. And they beat them and then threw them in prison and bound them up. And there they are in prison. Dirty, rotten, nasty prison. Beaten and in their underwear. No worse place to be in life than there. And they didn't complain. They didn't, God, why'd you have this happen to me? Blah, blah, blah. And go on and let everyone in the prison hear about it. No, they decided they were going to praise and worship God. So they started singing songs to him. Next thing you know, the prison shakes, right? And the jailer at the time is freaking out. He thinks that they've escaped. And they say, no, 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 we're here. We're here. And this all happened. Paul says this to the jailer. This all happened so that you and your whole household will know who Jesus is. He said, we were only beaten and flogged and thrown in prison for your sake. and your household. That's how important you are to God. Amazing. Makes me want to be a better Christian. I don't know what else to say. That caught me off guard. I was like, wow, you mean Paul was willing to get beaten, thrown in jail in his underwear just so that one person and their household could know who he was? That's inspiring to me. And I'm not saying I do it well. I'm not saying I do it good at all. I'm just saying that we can do that too. We can do that too. We can use our words that God's given us. We can spend time with him in his word, learning about who he is. And we can turn around with the next person who we find today in our life and be able to share with them what we've learned here, what I heard or what I read in my Bible while I was trying to listen to this guest speaker at Next Level Church. And we can share life with them because they might not have it. So where I want you to go with that is, Rob talked about it in the top three, so you don't miss it, is he said that next week is that talk. Sounds so serious. It is serious. Because Rob's going to do a great job, I think, next week, telling people about who Jesus is. So all I want you to do, one of two things. You can do one of two things, and it's really easy. Either invite someone to come to church with you next week and let Rob do all the talking. He's good at it. Or, number two, tell someone about Jesus yourself and share with them who he is and who he is in your life and the importance that he is, and see if that'll turn their life around. So you can do one of two things. Tell him yourself or let Rob tell him. Either way, bring him to church on Sunday and let him get connected to a great group of people who I am privileged to be with, that they would get to hear you guys and see you guys and know the life change in your own life, that they would know that there's something different about this. Awesome. Can you do that for me? Yeah. Awesome. All right. I appreciate you guys. I really do. I appreciate you guys bearing with me through the talk. And if you don't mind, we're going to pray, and Stephen and the crew are going to come back up.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.